So in our current transformation series, today I'm going to present one way I find helpful, maybe some of you will, of visualizing the pathway of personal change. That's what we're talking about. How does change happen? How do you become the best version of you that could possibly be? And so this particular model that I grabbed onto is by a guy named David Paulson. What Paulson does, the reason it's so good, is because he captures in diagrams and metaphors what I've all been teaching you for 12 and a half years. That's cool. Of course it's good. But he gets to write the books because he does it better. So the book is called Real Change. It's very helpful. We won't get to the PowerPoints for a while. So I'm going to read a story from that book, Real Change. It's a situation. So what I want you to do is to engage your sanctified imagination. If you have to close your eyes to do that, you can do that. But engage your senses. Put yourself, you are the person in this story. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing in this typical day? So you're driving your car on the way into the city. It's your friend's birthday, and a group is going to meet up for a dinner and a show. You've been looking forward to the celebration all day. You haven't seen this particular friend for years, and you heard that she recently became a Christian, and so you're eager to catch up with all that has been going on. You're a little late starting your journey. Just before leaving the house, you get a phone call from your mother who promised it will be just a quick one. You answered her out of a desire to be kind to her, but it wasn't so quick. As a result, you left home behind schedule and already in a rush. However, the drive starts off okay, and it seems the delay will be of little consequence. That is, until you look down and see that your fuel gauge is empty. Nothing you can do. You have to stop. It's going to take you further out of your way, but you need the fuel. After you pay, you start, you look at your watch a little anxiously. There's been some slack in your travel timetable, but now there's none, no slack because of the detour. Now things are getting really tight. You promised your friends you'd be there 10 minutes before the birthday girl arrived so you could surprise her. If you can't make up that time, you won't be there before her. Then you remember with a flutter of anxiety that you're the one with the theater tickets, so no one can even get in without you. But you aren't that late, so you're not too worried. Try to call your friends and give a heads up, but no one answers the phone. You restart your journey. Hopefully you might make it on time, but there's an accident ahead of you. Traffic has stopped, and barely crawls. You can walk more quickly. When you finally get moving, a glance at time confirms that the evening performance will begin in approximately 25 minutes. There's no way of joining your friends ahead of time, but you just might make it at the start of the show. After another 10 minutes, you reach your destination and you begin looking for a parking space. You spot one in the corner, but another one jumps into it before you. So you drive around for another 10 minutes looking for a spot. You finally find one. You have 7 minutes before the show starts. And if you walk really quickly or run, it might take you 8 minutes. So now I ask you, how are you feeling right now? What's going on through your mind? And what's the why behind these feelings? If you're anxious, what are you anxious about? If you're frustrated, what are you angry about? Or who are you angry at? If you're despairing, what hopes have been dashed? And you know your impact on other people. What do you think or assume that they are now thinking about you? You got it? Here's why I told that story. Here's the truth. If you've been wandering away, come on back, listen to this truth. It is in our knee-jerk reactions to the ordinary stressors of daily life that we discover the places in our soul that still need transformation. What ignites in your soul when things and people just don't respond the way you want them to? Those responses are the dashboard lights. They are the gauges on your heart. And so if your knee-jerk reaction tends to be things like anger or shame or cynicism or despair or fear, it's time to pull over, lift up the hood of your heart, and see what are the roots, to mix metaphors now, to your unhealthy reactions. We can measure, listen, we can measure our degree of transformation when we start to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit to become a more regular knee-jerk reaction. Scale 1 to 10, what's my knee-jerk reactions? Not doing so well. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There you go. That's transformation. Roots and fruits. One way of understanding how transformation happens. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about becoming more like Christ and how we think and act and feel and relate, that's what it's all about. You save us to change us. And so, Lord, I'm asking, and anyone that wants to join me in this prayer, we give you permission, because you will never barge through our doors. We must unlock them from the inside. You stand at the door of our heart knocking. And if anyone would let you in, you would come in and dine with them. So says Revelation. So here we are. We're going into our soul. We're flinging wide open every door. No matter how painful it's going to be, no matter what we have to face, we give you permission. So if any of you give God that permission, I invite you to do that in your own words in a silent prayer. Because he will not come. We're not invited. All right, our Bible passages for today are Psalm 1 and Jeremiah. We've already read Psalm 1 together as our call to worship. Let's read Jeremiah. Please turn with me. It's not going to be up there because I'd like you to read on your own. Bible, pad, phone, whatever you use. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Very similar. It's very parallel to Psalm 1. It characterizes the pathway of transformation, the two paths we can walk with this images of roots and fruits and trees and shrubs and such things. So, thus says the Lord. So you better listen. Thus says the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh Most High. Thus says the Lord, cursed. Oof. Cursed is the one who trusts in man or your own human abilities and makes flesh his or her strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. They'll dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Anybody want to live there? So, other option. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Notice the wording there. Trust in the Lord and trust is the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Yeah. Then it gives this warning. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. There's God's evaluation of your heart. Old covenant, old heart, old shadow heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so what do? I, the Lord, God your Father, search the heart and test the mind to give to every person according to his ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. Word of God. So, what do our two passages teach us about the pathway of becoming the best possible version of you that you could ever hope to become. That's what it's all about, right? Become the best version of you, because that's God is most glorified in us when we are most glorified in him. That's my version of Piper thing. We discover that there are two pathways you can be traveling on in a given season, any given day, any given minute of your life. Two pathways. One, and they're characterized by in whom or in who, in what or in whom are you trusting? You listen? In what or in whom are you trusting for your identity, security, purpose, and joy? This is the heart of everything. In whom, in what are you trusting for your identity, security, purpose, and joy? Our passage then uses the image of roots and trees and shrubs to illustrate the fruit you'll bear on each of these pathways. One pathway is trusting in yourself or other people to find your identity, purpose, joy, security. This is the pathway of idolatry, that of worshiping the Trinity. Our passage warns that to walk on the pathway of trusting in yourself and in your ability or in others for identity, joy, purpose, and significance is to be cursed. How many want to sign up to be cursed? It's to have a heart that turns away from the Lord, and the fruit of this pathway is like a shrub in the desert, and they'll never see any good come of their life as dwelling in the parched lands and the wilderness. Does any area of your life feel like the parched lands of the wilderness? In our language of Psalm 1, those who trust in themselves or others for their deepest sense of identity, significance, purpose, and joy are like the chaff that the wind just drives away, and they won't be able to stand in the day of judgment, and his entire life work will perish. Anything appealing about that pathway? The other option lay before us is in every season, day, and decision of life, every season, day, and every decision of life, you, if the Spirit is in you, have a choice to trust in the Lord. The fruit of a life of trusting God, trust in all things, trusting in Jehovah, trusting in Yahweh, trusting in Christ, the Spirit of God, and is like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots by the stream. Just picture yourself, you're a tree, you're by this rock. Crystal clear water, your roots are way deep down, and your leaves are always green because your roots are in Christ alone. The language of Psalm 1, those who delight in the law of the Lord, and here's the practices that moves you to trust in the Lord alone, and on who's God, and on God's word meditates day and night. There's only one way to plant your roots in the Christ, meditating on God's word day and night. That person is like who's planted by streams of water, same image, who yields its fruit in season, who leaves does not wither, and all that he or she does, she prospers. So, you ask yourself, okay, what is the fruit of the way I am choosing to live my life right now? Are you happy, pleased with the fruit that your current life choices are making? Kind of a simple, profound question, right? I hope you take time to do that. You step back and say, I'm not really happy with the fruit in my marriage right now. I'm not really happy with the fruit of my parenting. I'm not really happy with the fruit with my relationship with God. If there's bad fruit happening, take the time to do what it takes to take those roots out of what's causing that fruit and put it back into Christ. If, and only if you're here today and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, you cannot claim any of these promises of fruitfulness other than the bad stuff. If you are filled with God's Holy Spirit, every second of every day, it doesn't have to be a have to, it doesn't have to be a should to, it can be a want to and a can do, because you have everything you need. 2 Peter, our passage from last week, everything you need for life and godliness you already have. So you can choose in every second to trust in the Lord and bear fruit for his glory. You can choose the path of ever-increasing decay. This is what's before you. Ever-increasing decay or ever-increasing fruitfulness. The path of trusting in your own self-worth or abilities or the approval of others for your identity, significance, purpose, and joy only leads to shame. This is how the Bible defines shame. Shame is the exposure. This is my definition of shame. Shame is the exposure, the painful exposure of trusting in something or someone other than Christ within for your identity, purpose, and joy, and so then fearing rejection by God and others. Idolatry, shame is the exposure of your idols. Or you can choose the path of trusting in who you are as the beloved and royal child of God for your identity, significance, purpose, and joy, and bear fruit for God's glory. All right. If you zoned out, come back in. Hear this truth. Transformation, personal change, becoming the best version of you can be to glorify God, all comes out of trust. So, here's the brief version. You can build your life on these words. Transformation is the fruit of trust. Transformation is the fruit of trust. The expanded version that it implies is transformation is the fruit of rightly placed trust. All right. This guy, Paulson, captures these glorious truths in this model he calls the three-tree model. And so I'm going to present this three-tree model, and then over the upcoming weeks, we're going to unpack each element one by one for however long it takes. Okay? Not the best diagrams because, I don't know if you can darken these lights a little bit or something, because they're taken from a book, and that never does very well. Does this little middle thing work? Does it have a little dealio? No. Man, it's not working. All right, you get that. You have to follow it. So here's the big picture. You live a Christ-centered life, right? And it's built on faith and repentance. And then you walk in the Holy Spirit and you have a good heart. Your heart is good because the Spirit's making it good. And so you bear good fruit. You reap a life of faith and hope and love. You're cruising through life. What happens? Heat, trials, temptations, troubles, blah, blah, blah. And you then have a choice. Do you go back to the crucified Lord and stay on that side of things? Or do you go into your bad reactions, the bad heart, the old shadowy sinful side, the false self, and then reap bad fruit, and that's all the yuck stuff in your life? There you go. That's your life. One little circle. All right, let's just unpack these. How's it look up there? That's not too bad. So heat, again, these are the situations that you face, or the daily pressures of life. Sometimes they actually make us hot. Refers to more serious difficulties. It's like you're in a rut. I mean, haste makes waste, right? The old grandma thing, and I'm running late, and then I'll drop my phone, and a stupid phone, why is it always dropping? You get the phone, right? It's those little reactions. It's the big reactions, the little things that are the dashboard light of where you need transformation. Okay? Heat. But it's also obviously big things. More so big things. Illness, death, financial struggles, broken relationships, parenting problems. A beautiful, young, talented, gifted young girl that may as dies in a car wreck. Where in the world is God's plan in that? This is the heat of life. And what do you do? How you respond to the heat of life determines everything. Does it make you better or bitter? The heart. Everything comes out of the heart. It's out of the heart, Christ says, flows all evil intentions. And that's why we need a new heart. The new covenant gives us a new heart because our old heart stinks. This is the decision-making center of who you are. So when the Bible uses the word heart, it's talking about your soul and your mind and your will and your passions and your imaginations and your memories. It's there. It's you. It's a place where you decide how you're going to respond to the things of life. And when we keep being rooted in our old, false, former, dead, shadowy self, we bear bad fruit. The Bible calls that sinfulness and shamefulness. All right? The thorns are all the dishonoring, self-focused ways we respond to So heat happens, you respond. Do you respond out of a good heart and good fruit, or do you respond out of thorns? There's just the bad stuff, the old habits of sin and shame and whatever you do to separate you from abiding in Christ, the thorns. So you reap the negative consequences. The negative consequences are every thought, every attitude, every motivation, every action in your life that you just keep finding yourself repeatedly doing that never gets you the kind of life and relationships you want. Right? Every one of you have areas in your life where you just keep doing the same old thing, expecting different results, and it doesn't produce different results, and you're just in that hamster wheel trap of habitual, bad, unhealthy choices. Anybody else do that? All right. Or you can do walk in the Spirit. What is the defining definition of what it means to be a Christ follower? Romans 8. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. The Spirit of God is in you, or the Spirit of God isn't in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, then you can be led by the Holy Spirit. Everything is about being led by the Holy Spirit, not behavioral change, not coping mechanisms. Are you walking in the Holy Spirit, or are you walking in your shadow self? And the Spirit always leads us to the cross. We live a cruciform life, a cross-shaped life. We're never ashamed of the cross. We never move away from the cross. It isn't like the cross is this baby stuff and then we move on to the really deeper truth. No, everything comes back to the cross and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We're given new life. We're connected to the streams of living water of the Holy Spirit. We keep going to Christ and we just live here. We just live right there. Faith, repentance, faith, repentance, faith, repentance, faith, repentance, faith, repentance, Christ-centered, cross-centered. Life-giving Spirit. And that gives us a new heart, new covenant heart, promised in Ezekiel. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart of, I will remove the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If anyone watched Once Upon a Time, they had the ability to rip out people's hearts. That's what God does. He goes in and he rips out your heart, and he gives you a new covenant heart, and the law of God's written on it, and you can't help but love and obey God. I'll take it. Sign me up. All right. And then we bear good fruit. We bear the virtues of Christ, faith and hope and love and humility. And we bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, honesty, faith, and gentleness, self-control. And then the other one's in 2 Peter of add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control, and add to your self-control brotherly affection and brotherly kindness love. You should have those things memorized so you can have a measurement of how well you're doing. Or you just ask your spouse because they can tell you really quickly. And then you reap the positive consequences, all the fruits, all the blessing. God's knee-jerk reaction is always grace. God's knee-jerk reaction is never anger, it's never shaming, it's never, I'm disappointed. You just keep failing me, you loser. No. God's knee-jerk reaction is always, I just love you. Man, you're just missing out on my best. Don't you understand when you choose these old shadowy ways of things, they literally are shadow, they have no existence. I give you a fruit, an abundant fruit. I give you life and health and wholeness and happiness and joy and good relationships and eternal life. Yes, that's God's knee-jerk reaction. He's not stingy. He wants to have a river of living water flowing in and out of you. All right, so there you have it. Heat, thorns, cross, fruit. Those will be the topics of our next four sermons. We'll take each one individually. All this can be summed up in closing. Another passage. I tell you in seminar, don't bring in a new passage that you haven't already introduced as your main passage. Well, oh well. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. The law of reaping and sowing, because it fits so well with this. I should have just threw it in there. Then I wouldn't be in trouble with my homiletic professors. All right. Galatians 6, 7 and 9. You know this passage. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For to whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. If he sows to his flesh, he will from the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to your spirit, you will from the spirit reap eternal life. So in the simplest forms, transformation is trust. The pathway of transformation is these five words. You are what you sow. Yeah, I counted right. You are what you sow. If you make choices that are sowing to your old, sinful, false, shadowy self, you'll reap physical and emotional and mental and spiritual and financial and relational destruction. If you practice instead the daily practice, the spiritual formation practices that bring you into a closer relationship with Christ, and so you live out your day abiding in Christ, you will reap physical and emotional and spiritual and financial and relational health and joy. Are you rooted in Christ or are you rooted in old, false, shadowy stuff? Now, that's the easy way of doing it, easy way of saying it, but make no mistake, sowing and reaping to our good heart in Christ is a daily and fierce battle. Make no mistake, the enemies of your soul, your sinfulness and shamefulness and all the powers of the kingdom of darkness and all of the powers of an ungodly culture that is only getting increasingly more ungodly and will do so until the collapse of this country, we are out to steal and rob and kill all the abundant fruit that God wants in your life and calling in relationships. It is war. Innumerable demons around you all of the time. It is war. And so, a Jeremiah passage gives us these two choices. You can follow your heart. How many times have you heard that? Oh, just follow your heart. What does Jeremiah say about that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. So, is it good counsel to follow your heart? Instead, Jeremiah says, here's what we do. Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, our Father, Yeshua Christos, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, Hagias Numa says, I search your heart and I test your mind and I give to every person according to his or her ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. And so this is the ultimate question of transformation. Will you, are you surrendering your heart to the deep healing work of the Holy Spirit, no matter how painful, no matter what you need to face? Are you, will you, surrendering your heart to the deep healing work of the Spirit? I invite you to take a moment, silent prayer, respond to God's word.